Hi, this is Michael Levy from Fuzz and the Lens Productions. I'm a director, producer, actor, and you might know me as Will the Exterminator in the Terrifier franchise. I'm also a producer of the Terrifier franchise and director of upcoming horror film Stream, and you're listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Corey, we've been wanting to do this one for a little while now, and I'm fucking pumped. I'm sure you are. But today's movie we're going to be reviewing is In a Violent Nature. It's written and directed by Chris Nash, starring Rye Barrett as Johnny, Andrea Pavlovich as Chris, and Cameron Love as Colt. The plot of this movie is when a locket is removed from a collapsed fire tower in the woods that entombs the rotting corpse of Johnny, a vengeful spirit spurred on by a horrific 60-year-old crime, his body is resurrected and becomes hell-bent on retrieving it. You can watch this for rent on Amazon Prime Video, Vudu. It's for only for rent at the moment, but I'm sure it's going to come to Shudder soon enough. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out, support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of In a Violent Nature?
So like you said, we were so pumped to watch this. Unfortunately, we didn't have the opportunity to see it anywhere around here because, of course, it doesn't fucking show anywhere near us. But for once, dude, a movie lived up to all the hype it got. I know it's one of those movies that is, we were talking to Mike Levy about this, how it's hit and miss. Because it is. You're literally just following the killer an entire movie by a behind-the-camera shot. But I think it was an interesting take on the slasher genre. Again, it was original, it was unique, and I loved every second of it. And it seems like they left it wide open for a sequel.
Oh, they big time did. Because, dude, we'll get to it, but ultimately the ending was so nerve-wracking. The whole time, I'm waiting. I'm like, when the fuck is this kill going to happen? And it didn't. But there's a good reason for it. I'm sure, like, it was done on purpose because, like, the movie wanted to drive us all fucking crazy.
Okay, you mean a kill of Johnny getting killed?
Or Johnny making the last attack, like doing one more kill. But the movie eventually transitioned to being... So at first it was like Johnny the whole time. And then it switched to the main protagonist, like the girl, which was Chris. So they started doing like, you know, following Chris around. So it's almost like once Johnny got his shit, he was done. He went back home, called it a day. And then Chris went on thinking that she's still getting pursued by Johnny. And this is where I'm thinking like, okay, typical horror movie slasher movies, there's going to be that one final jump scare, whatever, and it doesn't come, which left it way open for a sequel. And I hope we get a sequel. And you know what I was just going to mention? You were just mentioning about how it's like hit or miss, right? So I'm looking on Rotten Tomato, the reviews. The critic reviews, 81%. Audience, 44%. Who the hell is watching this movie?
Yeah, see, it's definitely getting shit on. I think it's because there's never been a movie like this before. Like, you watch a slasher movie, you're watching a killer go around at different scenes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This, you're literally like a GoPro attached to the, like a stand or something behind the killer, and you're just following him through the woods.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I think people were bored, but like maybe you and I, we can appreciate something like this, because it's a unique take on that genre we love so much.
Exactly. I think you're right. I think people are probably bored and they don't get it. right? They're just not into slashers maybe as much as, like, say, you and I are. So maybe they're just looking at it and like, oh, this is boring. We're just watching a guy walk through the woods and killing people. It's like, but you've never seen that. That's never been a thing at all.
Right.
That's new. That's unique. That's something you just never see. And I applaud the director for taking this approach. So as we talked with Michael before about this, I think the director took a risk. And sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't when it comes to these risks. And I felt like it paid off. But I guess people that maybe aren't as savvy when it comes to, like, all the slasher movies. Because, let's be honest, a lot of these slasher movies have pretty much the same premise. And they all have, like, a same formula. It's, like, the same shit over and over, different flavoring. But the idea of following the killer around the whole time, completely unique. Never seen it done before. I don't think there's any other movie that's done that. And I think the whole idea of maybe not doing it this whole entire time was because we want to relate with the protagonist, like all the people that the killer is going after. We want to relate to them, and then we want to be jump scared and shit.
Right. And like, when you talk about slasher movies, Friday the 13th, Halloween, even Terrifier, you're really only seeing the kills. You're not following the killer. You're not seeing where they're going and the things that they're seeing and stuff like that. You're only seeing the gruesome shit.
Yeah. Imagine if this was a Friday the 13th movie. You and I would be fucking losing our shit right now, because, like, that's what Jason does the whole time? He went out for a sandwich? No.
Yeah, and that's what's another thing that's cool, though, is because you can tell Chris Nash took a lot of inspiration from those original slasher films. Like, just the way that Johnny is resurrected is straight out of fucking Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Coming out of the grave.
The ground, yeah. Minus the lightning. He came out of the ground.
That's right, because... And you just fucking reminded me there, because Tommy, he came in with the locket, right? And opened up the grave, and that's when Jason got electrocuted and brought back to life, and the fucking amulet is there or whatever, all that shit.
Yep.
So fuck. It didn't even dawn on me just until now. It didn't even dawn on me about the locket, like the connection between the two.
We talk about Friday the 13th 6 all the time because it's our favorite in the franchise, and you didn't put that together.
I did not put that together. I think I was just so, like, tuned in to the movie, and I was just enjoying it and wasn't really thinking about anything else other than the fact that I'm watching the killer just go around and fucking doing his thing and seeing it from that point of view. So some of these kills, man, are so unbelievably absurd. And for instance, the guy who got it's a machete, right? It was a machete? It was some fucking weapon. I can't remember what it was, but he's leaning up against a tree.
It was a saw. He picked up like a loggers use them.
Okay.
He picked one of those up off of like the wall of a shed or something, and he pinned this dude to a fucking tree with it.
Pinned him to the tree, and he's got the saw like in the mouth, and he's just pulling back, and then naturally it just goes through and cuts off half the head and the body. Let me tell you, man, the practical effects in this movie were insane.
Oh, I know, dude, especially, and we'll get there, but the yoga kill?
The yoga kill. Oh, yes. The yoga kill. Oh, man. But that's not even the best one, in my opinion, regarding the practical effects. The best one, in my opinion, is the stub cutter.
Oh, yeah. The log cutter.
Yes, the log cutter.
Dude, that scene was insane. It was so drawn out.
Yep.
And the fact that you could hear that log cutter, like the engine, because they run on, you know, gasoline or diesel. Mm-hmm. You can hear it running the whole time. I shit you not, I went to bed that night and I could fucking hear that noise. Because it was so long.
So I don't know if you noticed this, though. During that scene, the guy is like laying there, and the body, like the person, this is where it blows my mind, is because I was like, this is so fucking realistic looking. And I'm like, did these actors fucking give up for their craft and like, fuck it, I can get killed, screw it, let's make this movie? Because whatever they did, I don't know if it's some sort of animatronics or whatever, but they laid a body down and you see the eyes blinking and the fucking...
Oh yeah, because he's paralyzed. Like, what did he do? Did he break his spine?
I think he like broke his spine or something, but he got paralyzed by Johnny, and he's using this like fucking log cutter. And it's going so slow, and it's going right for the neck. And you see he's just laying there. He can't feel anything, obviously, and he's blinking. he can't say anything either. So it just cuts the head off, and it's like one seamless scene, man.
Yeah, well, he starts with, he loses his arm first.
Yeah.
Johnny decides to test it out on his arm.
He does. And no sound, obviously, because he can't feel it. So it doesn't even fucking matter to him.
You know what part of this movie was probably my favorite?
What's that?
The lake scene.
Oh, that was cool, huh?
Because you see him, he's coming in on one side of the lake. Again, I'm thinking this is Crystal Lake at this point.
Yeah.
He's standing on the shore of the other side of the lake, and he's watching these two girls, like, go swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he just decides to walk in the water. And it's so long and drawn out that you cannot see the killer. He's literally walking along the bottom of the lake at this point. And we know he's going to get this girl eventually because she's swimming around.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know, it just built so much tension. It was crazy.
Yeah, there was a crazy amount of tension with that. And, you know, good for him for being able to walk along the bottom of this fucking lake. Because, I mean, we didn't see him swim. So he's clearly just walking his ass down. He can hold his breath that whole time, just fucking under the water. You know what? Speaking of holding breath, when that girl got attacked and she's pulled under, they were down there for a little bit, man. I don't know if you noticed that, but they were both underwater for quite some time. So either this actress can really hold her breath or the editing for this part was just amazing.
Well, it brings me back to what CJ Graham said when they were filming that movie. He said that they actually filmed in a dark pool and he felt like he was going to die the whole time. And this was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine what they're doing now.
They probably have some sort of crazy shit going on. I mean, like, you know, at like Disney, right? Or whatever, they have those mermaids or something like that, you know, like underwater. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm saying. But they have these like flowers underneath water that these mermaids will go to. And it's really just like they look like they're smelling it, but they're breathing.
Yeah, just oxygen.
Just oxygen, exactly. So I don't know if maybe that's something that they did. But she was pulled under and we didn't see the struggle. We just saw her get pulled under and then they're both hanging out probably underneath the water waiting for like the next scene. So we see her float up at some point and then Johnny walks out. I was just blown away by the amount of time that they spent underwater to make that scene happen.
Yeah, dude. And like, there's so much that I want to say about this movie. Like, I'm sure we could talk about this for hours, similar like we did with the Scream one, because there's just so much. But like, another thing I wanted to talk about was when he gets his mask.
Friday the 13th,
part 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So he finds his mask pretty much the same way that Jason did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he finds his mask, and that's when this lake scene happens.
Exactly.
But the way that the camera for this lake scene, I forgot to mention, the camera is just going around the lake, and you're kind of seeing everything in a distance, and it's quiet, and you just see this girl having a good time in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Then he kills her. Then he walks back to the other side of the fucking lake to get an axe that he put in a tree.
Just getting his daily walk in.
But then, when he kills the next person, he's hitting this person with the axe for what seemed like 10 minutes, and all you can hear is the noise of just this fucking head just gushing and popping, and he's just hitting him off screen.
Oh, that's when, like, the boyfriend or whatever, the guy that was into Chris, he's like, I'm going to be a distraction. And then Johnny hits him in the head with an axe, and then he goes down, and it's like, it's the most repetitive fucking thing ever. You know, in Family Guy, when Peter hurts his knee, he's like, you know that?
Yeah, it was very similar to that.
It was
for
very
sure.
similar to that. So it got to a point where it was almost funny because of how dead that guy was, like uppercase D-E-D.
Dude, he was dead the first time he got hit in the head with the axe, and then he got hit like 75 more times.
Yeah. So
Johnny wanted to make sure.
Oh, he wanted to make well sure that that person was quite dead. So let's talk about the yoga death.
Oh, yeah. This was like, it reminded me of a Colombian necktie. You know what that is?
I'm pretty sure I do, but for the audience, let's elaborate.
I'm fairly sure it's when you get your throat slit and you pull your tongue out your neck and like hang it and then try and strangle someone with it.
That's okay. I have heard of that.
So this whole yoga scene was, that's all I could think of when I watched it happen.
Dude, I've never seen someone be like pulled inside themselves.
Dude, she was, the whole time it was happening too, like she never screamed. She was so calm.
Yeah. Well, I think is like after she put the friggin', or after he put the hook through her stomach and she just turned around and just looked at him like she just accepted her fate. because obviously not much to do at that point. And another fucking hook in the head. And that's when he decides to do the whole fucking making her a bow tie type deal.
Oh, so brutal. So this is the one, because I remember watching like footage of like pre-screenings on TikTok and stuff of people seeing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
People were getting sick about one particular kill. And I'm assuming it was this one.
Maybe, yeah.
Is it just me or do you feel really fucking desensitized at this point? Because I felt nothing when that happened. Like I didn't feel nauseous. All that shit was happening.
Dude, I think I'm desensitized now.
We're fucked up.
Yeah, we're fucked. We're in trouble, man.
Like, I love the gorier, the better. Like, I think Headless was worse than this.
Headless is worse than everything. Headless is so bad. I never want to see it again, ever.
Yeah, we should do another episode where we just watch
Fuck
it for a second
no,
time.
Ever. If anything, I'll drop a friggin' director's cut version. And then...
Oh, I forgot that exists.
Yes, I like to do those occasionally when we need a fucking week off. So
yeah, the podcaster's cuts do well. People like those.
They do. I think they just want to hear the absolute insanity in between. They're just like, well, I do like enjoy my 30 to 40 minute podcast, but an hour and a half? What the hell are they saying for an hour and a half? Like,
yeah,
like what did
movie.
Steve cut out that I could hear? But people like it, yeah. So this kill, and actually I wanted to touch base on this too. This girl had an easy opportunity to get the hell out of there, but fucking decided to not make the jump. And it's not like this was a cliff, man. This was just an incline. She could have jumped down and ran and gotten away from him, I'm sure.
You're right. She probably could have jumped, but she would have broken everything on her way down.
Yeah.
It wasn't high, but it wasn't going to not do damage.
Right. Yeah. You just got to jump and then go with the momentum. You don't just freaking land flat. You have to just run and jump and fucking tuck and roll and just make it happen.
I mean, she sees this dude coming at her with a giant hook in his hands and she just stands there.
Yep. She's like, oh, fuck.
I'm fucked. Just going to take it.
And it was brutal, man. And you saw the neck break. I'm like, oof, ouch. It's like when the head was pulled down, you heard the pop. And
oh, yeah.
That might be maybe the head just coming dislodged from the spine. Maybe it wasn't even a break. It's just like her head became officially decapitated. And then she was pulled inside herself.
It's so hard to even describe this scene because the kill was so over the top.
One of the most over-the-top kills I've seen. Let's not talk about Terrifier, because that's on a whole fucking level of its own. Like Terrifier, Terrifier 2, those deaths, those things are over-the-top. Let's not count them, right? This one might be probably the most ridiculous kill I've ever seen. Think about, like, have you ever seen someone get pulled inside their own body via a hook?
No, you're right. You're right.
No, you haven't. It's insane. So this director or writer, well, director and writer, he's like, huh, I wonder how ridiculous I can make this kill. And he fucking pulled it off and made it pretty damn ridiculous. But I want to circle back to this one because, dude, this fucking killed me. So that kill where he had the guy had the saw in the mouth, right, and his head got cut off.
Yeah.
He took the body with him, the head and the body.
So I noted that because I love the fact that he drags the body with one hand and he keeps the head in the other hand.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I'm thinking to myself, is he going to carry this thing around the whole time? That would be fucking hysterical.
Yeah. So that was another thing I really liked about this character was I hated in like the later Jason movies where they made him run. Or didn't Michael Myers run in one of the Rob Zombie movies?
It's been a hot minute since I've seen it. I think he was always kind of lurking, menacing. I don't think he really ever needed to run. Maybe hustle, but never run.
So that was one thing I really loved about Johnny's character because he does not run at all. He has people running away from him and he's still walking the same pace that he was to get them.
Tortoise in the hair, man.
It's fucking so menacing.
It really is. And it's funny because he does walk slow, but he eventually makes it there, right? So there was the one scene. This was actually leading to the first kill where he just walked into that guy's house and he saw a necklace. And it wasn't the necklace that he was looking for. And then we see him. Well, actually, we don't even see him kill that guy. We know he's basically chasing him. He's walking. The other guy's running. He gets caught in fucking bear trap. And that's all we really see from that other than afterwards we see the aftermath. But in between him walking and finally getting to the house, there was a drastic change in camera or the lighting or something. Like it was really taking him a while to get there. I don't know if you noticed that quick change at all. Did you notice that? Like, it almost felt like it jumped ahead because it's like, all right, Johnny's taking a little while to get to this house. Let's fast forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's probably just to keep the movie under a certain runtime, you know?
Sure. Otherwise, think about how long it would take for him to maybe walk all that way.
You know what? Give me a fucking director's cut that's 4 hours long, like Justice League.
Yeah, a 4 hour director's cut, him just walking the whole time.
Yeah, give these people something to really hate.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would,
you know,
watch
what?
That.
The whole thing, wasn't it shot in like 4:3? Not like the Justice League one. I'm talking this movie because it had the square view, right? It wasn't like widescreen.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
also, side note, I was just reading like some trivia about this. Chris Nash apparently at some point this year said that he reshot 70% of the movie.
Oh my God.
Because it's based on his mood, apparently.
It's based on his mood?
Yep.
What do you mean?
So in a 2024 interview with Points of Reviews, Chris Nash spoke about the reason for doing a substantial reshoot. I would say that we reshot 70% of the film. That number fluctuates depending on my mood, but it's around 70%.
Wow.
We did 4 weeks of shooting in a completely different location with a different lead actor who succumbed to a medical problem a week and a half into production. So we had to replace our main monster actor.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, damn. 70%, man, that's like almost shooting a movie all over again.
Yeah. That's right, man. Just like Justice League. So there's got to be a director's cut out there.
Oh, man, absolutely. The original cut, and it's like it's on the fucking cutting room floor. And you have to just pick that shit up and put it together. That's mm-hmm. what we need. We'll get that cut, too. Why not?
Yeah, need
it. Get a dual disc. It's Steelbook. I'll take a Steelbook of that on dual disc. I'm sure Shudder will make that a Steelbook in no time.
Speaking of Steelbooks, did you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 just came out on steel with a Steelbook?
Did it? Oh, mm-hmm. I can fuck with that. I do enjoy me my Steelbooks, man. Say again?
I know you do. I was going to send it to you, and then I forgot.
Oh, shit. Yeah, send it to me anyways. I want to see it.
No, you can find it yourself.
Well, fuck, man. All right, fine. Whatever.
No, I'll find it and send it to you.
All right, cool. Yeah, I love getting Steelbooks, especially when there's like alternate artwork on it. So I know a lot of the Shudder ones, they tend to be like just the artwork, like the normal artwork, and it's just kind of on a metal casing, which is cool. But then there's some that are like these whole different art pieces on Steelbook that are not the regular movie poster, which is cool.
Yeah, it's definitely different artwork. I know I saw it somewhere.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool. Because I like to see that. And I think it's just a really cool collector's piece. Do I need it? No. Do I want it? Sure. I'd love to have them.
No,
it makes for a good talking piece. You know, people walk in, they're like, what the fuck is this? All those are all my steel books. They're all in 4K or whatever bullshit. And it just, people go, oh, wow, okay, this is cool. So I got a bunch of them. So now, I think we can jump ahead a little bit. We don't want to talk too much about this because people need to see this. This is, I'm just going to say, it's a masterclass in fucking horror. This is unique. This is about as unique as Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, it's a bold statement, but they're both unique in their own way. They both had something different, and we don't see a lot of something different in movies these days. It's all the same shit, man, over and over. Sequels, remakes, fucking all this stuff. It's all the same. So it was like a breath of fresh air to see two movies this year that were just completely different and changed mm-hmm. the game. And those two changed the game.
For horror, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the ending, because I was touching base on the tension. So we're at the scene where Colt is trying to distract Johnny, and Johnny just fucking swings around and hits him with a hatchet or axe or whatever, hits him in the head, and his head's split open in half. And then he decides to just start going fucking crazy, smashing his face in. He was just hamburger at that point. Just raw meat. Yep. There was like nothing left to his whole upper body. It was violent. So this is when Chris decides to take off that fucking necklace and is like, I think this might work, and just fucking
this is what he wants.
This is all he wants. I'm just gonna put this down.
I'm not gonna lie, when we find out that that's what he's after this whole movie, I definitely laughed a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, don't fucking steal his shit. That's like, it simple.
He's murdering everyone over a necklace that belonged to his mother.
Hey, it has sentimental value to him.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So she takes the necklace off and she puts it down. Like, their whole plan was to friggin' light this guy up on fire. And solid plan, because you think, right, you have to use these traumatic events against the killer. So Jason hates water. Freddy hates fire. Things like that. Johnny fell from a firehouse. He fell off of something, right? And the firemen, they just fucking blamed it on him. They wanted nothing to do with it, even though they're the ones that fucking coaxed him to climb up and he fell to his death. So I think that they were trying to say like, oh, we're going to use fire because this whole thing revolves around firemen and him dying at their hands by accident. So that didn't work out at all. They fucking couldn't shut up in the woods. They're like, he sees us. What are you doing? We got to be quiet. He sees us. And the funny thing is, because you're like behind the killer the whole time and seeing what he's seeing, you're just standing there and you're like, fucking hear them. Clearly the killer can hear them. And they're just being like stupid about it. They should be hiding better. And that's when she just decides to take off the necklace. She starts running. But that's the last time we see Johnny, is him just hacking Colt to fucking smithereens.
Oh, he was, for sure. Hey, I wanted to bring one thing up before we wrap this up. So that one scene where we see Johnny without his mask on, where finally you have the face reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love the makeup. It looks so good.
Yeah, the makeup was
white,
really
like,
cool.
Over white of his eyes, like, mm-hmm. like skin melted together. I don't know. I thought they did a really good job with the makeup effects on him. Because you only see his bare face during this one scene where he's sitting down against a tree. And he had the necklace at that point, right?
No, he didn't have the necklace. It was a pair of keys.
That's what it was, right? He had the little Hot Wheels car or something on it that he crushed.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm sure he's still like a little child in his mind. So seeing something like that, he wants to play with it. Now, this scene, I do want to talk about this kill too, because this is where I'm talking about the practical effects stuff. The guy getting the rock smashed down onto his head.
Popped like a tomato.
Yeah, and that aerial view.
Yeah, it was great.
Seamless. Absolutely seamless.
Just like standing over, yeah, the overhead view of him with holding the rock above his head and just dropping it on that guy's face.
Yeah. I don't know how they did that editing, but it looked fantastic. But yeah, just watching it from that aerial point of view, very cool. The guy's, you know, he's clearly fucked. Obviously, he got stabbed.
He knows it.
Yeah, he knows he's fucked. There's nothing he can do. Johnny picks up the rock and then just smashes his face, explodes like a fucking tomato, and that's that for that guy. But these practical effects were great. The makeup was great. A lot of cool stuff like that. So I think let's go back into the ending. So the girl's running after she drops off the friggin' necklace, leaves it with Johnny. She takes off. And the whole time, now we're just following her the whole time. And this is very chaotic. It's very stressful because you think that Johnny's chasing her the whole time, because all slasher movies that we've seen, whenever the protagonist is running, it's like always the killer in pursuit. So we're thinking that Johnny's in pursuit the whole time. He's not. He's probably still back there hacking at the guy's face and finally picking up his necklace.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So at some point she fell. She got injured somehow. She makes it out to the road. And dude, this is where I'm waiting for this kill to happen. So this lady picks Chris up. They get in her truck and they're about to drive to the hospital. And here's what I was expecting. I'm expecting Chris gets in the car and Johnny attacks the lady that's trying to be the Good Samaritan. And then another whole chase thing happens, which we've seen plenty of times in slashers. So pretty standard. Doesn't happen.
So I originally had a note on here that I ended up removing, but that whole scene with the woman in the car, I thought she was going to be involved in this somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps she was going to be Johnny's mother.
Yeah. Or Johnny's mother, Johnny's aunt,
something.
Sort of,
yeah.
Sister.
And she was basically going to serve her up to Johnny. And
you
that's
know,
how the movie was going to end.
I kind of had that feeling too. And there was so much tension. We were just like, you were asking so many questions like, is it going to fucking happen? Is this lady somehow like connected to Johnny? And then there was like another part where Chris passed out and the lady pulled over. And I'm just thinking, oh, this is where it's going to fucking happen. Johnny's going to attack. Doesn't happen.
He's going to pop through the car window or something.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like,
yeah, your butthole's clenched for like the whole last 15 minutes of the film.
For no reason.
Yep, you're just thinking that she's going to get got and then it doesn't happen.
But that's the cool thing, is because it's building just tension the whole time and it's getting your blood boiling, right? And you're panicked And that's what horror movies are supposed to do. They're supposed to get your blood flowing and get you all fucking hopped up and like, oh shit, what the fuck's gonna happen next? Nothing happens. And this is where it leaves it open for interpretation for a potential sequel. Now, I'm thinking, we already ended in third-person perspective behind Johnny. Now, did he go back to his fucking hole? Like, did he just grab the necklace and just like, all right, well, I'm going to go back to bed. We don't know. Maybe he's still friggin' walking around. Maybe he's wearing the necklace and he's just going on his rampage still. She was just able to get away.
I really hope that they make a sequel because I'd love to know what he's up to now.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool to have as a sequel on that. All right, Corey, I feel like we've talked enough about this. I feel like that everyone just needs to watch this. As a horror fan, you have to watch this movie because it flips the script with slasher films. Corey, what do you give In a Violent Nature?
So if it wasn't obvious, this is a 5 out of 5. Easy
no
for me.
No fucking surprise there.
This lives up to all the hype for me, as I said before. I can definitely understand why it's hit and miss with a lot of people because it can drag. And again, maybe people think it's boring because you're following this guy for an hour and a half. But it has all my favorite elements of a good 80s and 90s slasher with the elements of that added third person perspective. Honestly, man, I cannot wait for the sequel. Like, I hope it comes out real soon.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it only took a month times however many times for the reshoots. But I mean, it seems like it doesn't take a ton of time to record, but the practical effects, I feel like that's something that probably takes a while to do with like and makeup and all that shit.
Yeah, and with reading what the director said about all the reshoots, it's like he seems like a perfectionist, which is something that I really love.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So, like, he hated 70% of his movie, so he reshot it.
Dude, it happens, man. With perfectionism, it's a fucking curse. I remember there was this one time we were like recording If Only Minds Could Paint Pictures. We started with a whole different person for the album, and I didn't like the process and how it was sounding. We went to someone else. We were only like a song or two in. I'm like, nope, don't like it. Here's whatever money for doing this. I'm out.
And you went to somebody, a completely different engineer?
Yeah. Went to a completely different engineer at first, and then I didn't like what he was doing. What he was doing didn't make any sense based on our kind of music, so I was like, let's get the fuck out of here. This is dumb.
All right.
Yeah. So,
didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, we don't tell a lot of people that. I mean, it's not like I'm shit-talking like the guy, but he wanted to do something ridiculous, like have us record the cymbals and the toms separately for drums. So think of like Sam sitting there and not hitting any of the drums, only cymbals the whole time.
So aren't you supposed to do it all at once?
Yes.
Isn't that like the standard way to do it?
Yes, that's the way you're supposed to. But this guy wanted to do it separately to avoid bleed happening from the cymbals to the drums. I understand the concept, but for our kind of music, it does not work like that. It is that is not the technique for this kind of music. So I get it. I get the perfectionism thing. It's a slow and steady nightmare process.
Sounds like it.
It is. So I'm going to go into my review now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolute easy 5 out of 5 for me on this as well. I don't think I was worried to not like this one because I love slasher movies, and hearing how it was shot sounded unique. What a movie this was. It may seem slow, but it's done with a purpose. There was constant tension building because we're constantly wondering what the killer is doing next. The kills looked amazing. I was honestly blown away by how seamless these kills looked to the actual actors. Like what I was saying, thinking like, did these people just fucking die for their craft? Because it looked that good. The sound production was also amazing, which we didn't even talk about. The movie was great. Completely unique. New take on the slasher genre. It's going to be a cult classic for sure. Obviously wide open for a sequel. I'm really looking forward to hopefully a sequel happening to this to expand upon this whole story of Johnny. So great movie. Let's talk about the sound for a second. There was no music. Did you notice that?
There was no music because, like you said, they relied on the sounds. You're relying on listening to the leaves crackling as this dude's walking through the woods, or that whole lake scene listening to the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no, and we've talked about this many times before, how music can do a lot for a movie
yep.
if it's used in the right ways. This movie didn't have any music at all, and it did all this other stuff perfectly.
Mm-hmm. It had a No Country for Old Men feel to it with the zero music, and then the ending almost being like poetic with the ladies just talking about this like long story, and then it ends. it's almost kind of the same. So not having music can speak volumes in a movie. Silence can be deafening. And in this case, hearing just the little things, the cracking of branches, bushes moving, or anything like that, actual nature, made this an experience to watch. Great movie. Can't wait to own this on Steelbook. Want it on Blu-ray. Have it for my fucking collection. Fuck yeah, physical media.
Still all about it.
Corey, you like your streaming. That's fine. I like collecting that shit.
I'm in the digital world now, bro.
Not me. I'm fucking old.
Well, okay. That explains it.
Yep. Hey, I have tons of CDs and everything still.
Oh, what?
What's a CD? Don't get me started on the amount of summon CDs I have.
I have Sessions right next to me, actually, on
Aww,
CD.
How nice. I've right got a few hundred of them.
Still?
Yes.
Hmm. Collector's items.
Collector's fucking lot. That's what it is.
You can use them for a bonfire.
I could. You'd be a son of a bitch to sell those things eventually. We'll see.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.